to Expounded Universe, Season 17, Episode 9. Aw, oh, come on, he's just a little guy. The book, Coruscant Knights 2, Streets of Shadows, by Michael Reeves. Chapters 17 and 18, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go. Oh, wait, 2008. Let's go.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, joined as always by my good friend and your other host, John. John, how you doing?
Oh, you know, terrible.
Yeah, you seem to have you got back problems.
Yeah,
it's going to happen to someone with tits like that. I mean, you had to know.
I need to get better support.
Quit jogging. I tell you, without a good sports bra, you can't be jogging.
That's why I got two black eyes. I slept weird, fucked up the top of my neck, and just like where the neck meets spine.
Ah.
All fucked up. And then today, playing with the dog, I turned too quickly and too greedily. I have.
Is that the doctor told you? Oh, geez, did you try to turn around? Yeah, at your range of physical well-being, we advise you largely look forward.
Yeah, if you try and, I don't know, move to the side, you better list like a giant tanker, because if you try and move quick, ooh, bad things are going
to
happen.
Pulls down a chart. Okay, at your particular wellness level, you'd need to walk Resident Evil 1 style.
What a great and lovely way to put that.
You were trying to Dark Souls, you need to Resident Evil 1.
You tried to roll, came up, and your back is now broken. I'm sorry.
From now on, tank controls only. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're going to put a special brace on you so you can only stop when you turn. If you go any further, this is my medical opinion as your doctor, the next phase is you can only go forwards or backwards and to the left like a Tyco RC car. You gotta watch it. That's your next phase.
Yeah. So I pulled some muscle in my lower back, and it's not great.
I know. It doesn't sound great.
So, I'm very stiff of back right now in order to not be in pain.
Okay, well, I will try not to make you laugh too hard with my many japes and antics.
Oh, you and your cavorting here and there.
Yeah, that's how I primarily entertain the world, is through gestering.
Yeah, you and your japes as you cavort and dance, as you jingle your bells and tell hey naughty naughty farts.
La nuncle.
Ah, yes, Jeff the farter.
Flatulist, thank you. Unless I'm trying to take over Hollywood, then it's flangeline. All right, so was that too inside baseball for, like, Hollywood trivia stuff, or what are we doing here? Or does it sound more like it's a named Final Fantasy enemy?
Flangeline?
Yeah, it's like...
Flangeline Lily?
Flangeline. It's a big slime with two huge slime bob tits up front. And also it attacks from a billboard.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we have some book to discuss, huh?
Some kind of a book to discuss.
We got chapters 17 and 18 of this. And remember how last week we were talking about how everyone is sitting around in their den or whatever the hell it is that they seem to live out of, some kind of shared apartment?
Their shitty little apartment.
Yeah, I don't know if they're all sleeping in there or what the deal is. Did we get into that?
Probably. They don't really ever let you know.
Yeah.
Every time we see them, everyone is there.
Yeah.
But we've never seen anyone but Deja sleep there.
It's like, true.
That's the only person that has canonically been asleep in that residence.
Yeah, the rest of them are always just huddled in their respective corners like it's the base of operations in a Persona game or something.
Oh, yeah. Every time you're like, oh, clearly each one of them has their own thing they do, and I'm going to go, I don't know, walk up to Loranth and be like, hey, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Do you want to buy any weapons? Because that's my thing. I sell weapons.
Reinen, you have been considering songs on that jukebox for 17 in-game hours. Pick one.
No.
Well, then at least have a quick, give me one line item dialogue sentence about the current situation of the game.
No.
Oh, man. He just says dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Talk to him three times, and he's like, this jukebox has a lot of Morrissey.
Man, I've been at this for 17 hours, and I'm only halfway through.
Only halfway through the Morrissey
stuff. Yeah. God.
Anyway, they're all in their respective corners doing dour stuff. None of them are talking. Den's not there this time. Or Deja. So it's there's only four of them. But of the four, Loranth has gotten increasingly withdrawn and reserved and unwilling to speak. And she talks only in curt monosyllabic sentences to Jax now.
I mean, everyone has basically just completely shut down at this point where, like, nobody is having anything to do with anyone else.
Yeah, like Jax is sitting there working on something. I think he's searching the HoloNet, looking for details of anyone who was interested in the death of Vesvolette. Because it starts with a whole bunch of stuff about how, like, oh, Vesvolette died, and he was kind of a local figure. Like, people did know about him. He was a famous artist. But his death wouldn't matter to anybody, except that it was, like, hours after Kamasi blew up. So that kind of made it a light featured news item.
Well, yeah, it's, again, because they're like, oh, and this is Coruscant, the world that's a city of sin, and in this city ain't nothing matter. In fact, death is so common and life is so cheap that even an artist like Vesvolette wouldn't make news if it weren't for the fact that he was also Kamasi and his planet just got blown up.
Yeah. So he is trying to dig around the HoloNet for anything of interest, because they have nothing. They're currently full-on leadless.
Yeah, they got shit, because he was like, well, I tried to harass Deja's friends, mm-hmm. and that didn't work, so now I've got nothing.
Yeah, and now he's starting to feel increasingly guilty every time he deposits a shitload of her money into his account without checking with her or anything.
Well, yeah, he just keeps going like, hey, so it turns out we have nothing, just checking in.
Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, I'm going to go spend several thousand of your dollars.
Well, more like all of my associates are going to spend several thousand of your dollars while I sit here and go, oh, but you sure are pretty, though.
So he's doing that. I-5 is full-on non-responsive because he is just jacked as his cyber brain directly into the internet. Where he's
gone full like Lawnmower Man at this point.
So he's just like, look, you organics are too slow with the way you deal with data. And I wasn't a big fan of his Star Warsy high tech metaphor for how humans are so slow.
Yeah.
Where he was like watching you guys try to do work is like watching super cooled hydrogen flow. And I was like, I feel like it would flow fairly quickly.
No, I mean, but it's super cool.
I mean, I guess if it's a solid, it wouldn't. But in that case, you're just describing any solid. Yeah. That makes that metaphor feel kind of tortured. You'd be like watching rocks flow or something, you know? It's missing.
I assume it's turned into goo, is my assumption. A very slow goo.
So hydrogen, when it freezes, becomes liquid hydrogen, then solid hydrogen, then stays solid. It doesn't turn into a goo. There's not a third, fourth state there.
Oh, there's a goo state, and you just wait until I show you it. I'm going to show you the goose state. You know what I mean?
I get it. I feel like it's going to be another tortured metaphor, though.
Oh, if I want to get there, it's going to be tortured.
I mean, to be fair, this book still, even with stuff like that, is still better than those times where, you know, you could like, Lando, that stew you made tasted like reconstituted plasticine boot leather seasoned with dried swamp kelp and then served with a spoon made out of animal dung, but a space kind of animal. You know, that kind of thing. It's snappier than that.
Yeah, it's still something.
Yeah. It's better than we've seen in the past.
Yeah. God bless you.
Good job, Michael Reeves. Reinen is just sitting there, just being the recalcitrant dope that he's been the entire book.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to take a nap. Fuck it. I'm not going to sleep, but I am going to just stare off into the distance. And if anyone's like, hey, you doing anything? He's going to be like, nah.
What, are you doing anything? Is it your job to check and see if I'm doing shit? Leave me alone.
You getting paid to see if I'm doing stuff? Fuck off.
Because I'm getting paid to not do stuff. Deposit some more of the Zeltron money. And I don't think it's specific. I assume Loranth is just also searching the internet looking for details because they already used cleaning her guns last chapter, and I think they've run out of stuff for her to do.
I mean, they don't really say it. All we really get is Jax at this point is like, oh, but I've noticed Loranth has become yet more reserved than she even was before, and she's hiding her burned Leku behind the, like, non-burned one, and I'm sure that means something.
Well, it's only that we're setting it up that she's jealous of Deja.
Yes.
And that's he's too dumb to notice, I assume, because he spent his entire life as a Jedi.
Yeah. They were like, hey, no penis.
You know, the lightsaber is good. So he's too dumb to notice. But honestly, I'm not a huge fan of that move, because it feels like it's cheapening Loranth.
Yes.
We barely even met her.
When it started, was like, what are you? I'm the super no-nonsense badass version of a Jedi,
mm-hmm.
because I quit and joined the fuck you, let's do stuff order.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it's like, ah, and then the boring milquetoast white guy likes someone, she's like, I liked him.
Why won't he notice me? It must be my burns. If I hide them, he'll think I'm pretty.
Yeah, I'm going to put my Leku up in a high and tight ponytail, and then he'll like me.
Yeah. I'm surprised she hasn't already spray-painted herself red.
Starts wearing way more red around.
Yeah, I just feel like it cheapens her as a character. Like, the introduction to her felt like she was going to be the bad cop of the Jedi pairing in this grouping. Like, she's the one who's, you know, no nonsense, gets the job done. He's a little goofier, a little looser, more goes with the flow. But instead, all we're getting out of her is that she's grumpy that there's another woman now.
Yeah, which is awful. Because I'm like, it should have been that she's the one who's like, look, Jedi don't exist anymore. You can't keep trying to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
You need to actually do what it takes to survive in this world. And instead, she's like, I'm not pretty enough for the white guy.
Yeah, which is just disappointing.
Mediocre.
I just want the women of the Star Wars universe to express some solidarity for each other and not hate each other on sight like fucking cats.
We just need some women supporting women.
These two are never going to pass the Bechdel.
Have they talked to each other at all?
No. She never talks to Deja because she's so mad about the whole situation that she's like, fine, you talk to that sexy lady. I'm not going to learn anything about her or get to know her or anything like that. She's a threat to me instantly. Oh, and Den's not there. Now, you may be finding yourself wondering, well, where's Den? Did he once again decide to go wandering the markets looking for energy crystals? Sort of.
Eh.
Because the first bit of news that anyone gets is Reinen, who gets a holo message, reads it, and then passes it off to Jax.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, buddy, this just came in. Someone's going to need to go down to the police station and get Den Durr. In person.
Yeah.
Anyway, here you go.
Someone's got to go pay his bail and spring Den Durr. And I nominate you because fuck you.
Because
fuck all of you.
I don't care. And you seem to be the only one who hasn't sunk into existential despair out of everyone here.
Don't even get me started on Artax.
We'll not get out of that bathtub.
Den Durr's in the Huskow. It needs to be sprung, but apparently it's one where there's bail, so he'll be okay as long as they go down there and pay the fee.
Yeah, this is a nice little callback to that bit earlier in the book where he went and bought a fake police officer badge, and it turns out that might not have been a great idea.
Yeah, because Jax is like, well, what's he in for? Impersonating a police officer.
Oh, golly. Who could have possibly seen that?
So he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go down there and spring him. Who wants to come with me? And Loranth won't even look up. And
I-5 is unresponsive still.
Yeah, he's just completely jacked in. It's clear he sees what's going on. He's got enough processing power that he sees the room. He just doesn't feel like even going, eh. He pretends he can't hear them.
I mean, I don't know if I-5 is fully like, oh, he's so fully into the net at this point that he's not even, like, aware of his surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, swimming through that 1990s super net where everything's, like, 4 pixels and cubes.
He's in that Johnny Mnemonic universe where there's like a dolphin hacker chasing him or something.
Oh yeah, no, he's 100% lawnmower man now. And he's like, I've got to touch these hexes in order to get access to things.
Well, I'm gonna offer a corollary to Occam's Razor here that we can use as a Star Wars version of Occam's Razor, okay?
Uh-huh.
Never assume a sci-fi explanation when is an asshole is a possible answer instead.
Ah, yes. And instead of Occam's Razor, it's Jeff's manscaping tool.
Would you like the simplest possible way to shave your balls?
We really should have taken that money.
We still can. I don't think they actually listen to the show. We'll just tell them we've already done 3 commercials.
Hey, guys, we did 3 commercials. Go ahead and give us that money.
Money, please.
I'll deposit that into my bank account while I succumb to ennui.
But no, I mean, like, that's my real answer for these 5 people in their little stupid apartment is never assume that they're actually suffering any kind of Star Wars malaise when they could just be an asshole.
I mean, with I-5 specialists.
Just an asshole. And Reinen, too. Huh? Both of them, there's never going to be a situation where I'm like, is Reinen okay? No, he's just a fucking asshole. He didn't disappear. He's an asshole. He
went
to drink.
His inner monologue is, fuck these guys.
Yeah. So Jax is like, fine, I guess I'll go by myself. And Loranth finally perks up, and she's like, okay, come back to us.
Yeah, all right, don't you also get caught. And he's like, oh, are you going to miss me?
Which is such a fucking, like, she's been recalcitrant and not talking to you for days. You don't want to rib her the moment she says anything.
He's like, oh, look who decided to come out of her room, huh?
No. I'm going back in, Dad.
Oh, fuck you all. There's a reason I don't come out here.
May I please be excused from the table?
So, you know, he's immediately just an ass, and in the most terrible way of being like, is it because you have feelings for me? And she's just like, well, no, because we can't get both of you out on bail. We could probably only afford one.
And also, you're the only person who has the Zeltron money flowing in, so you're our cash cow, and I don't want you to die for that reason.
I don't want you to go into jail because I don't know that... I don't want to make the decision of who to bail out, you or Den.
Right. And he's like, oh, well, I guess that's, I am put in my place then. Okay.
Oh, goodness me.
And off he goes to the police station, the where Prefect Pullhouse is waiting, although we don't actually see him.
No.
It's just a conversation between him and Den Dur.
Yeah, it's just Den Dur decided he was going to go shake down some art dealer.
Who had a couple pieces of Vespalette art. He had a couple of art dealer pieces, so we decided to go shake him down about the situation by which he had them.
Yeah.
And that was, I forget that character's name, but he was like a nothing character. He only shows up in Den's backstory narration.
Yeah, so he's just there to be like, ah, yes, I went to go see some criminal who very clearly got stolen goods,
mm-hmm.
and his whole deal is he's sitting on them, and because Valette died, the price has gone up, but then instead of being like, sweet, now I can get a better price for them, he has gone up to the maximum that it would possibly sell for the increased price, and is just like, I'm going to hold these and hope someone pays more than the already inflated price.
Yeah, he's waiting for a whale, is what's, and his name was Vernal, he was a Vernal, that's the species. The specific line was, oh yeah, it was a Vernal art dealer, a real Mopac head named Shulfa.
Ah, Shulfa.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what a Mopacat is, but he's one of those.
Well, it's someone with the head of a Mopac.
Yeah, or maybe he's addicted to Mopac, like he's a crackhead or something.
Maybe.
It could be. It's impossible to know. We will never know the answer to that.
No one could possibly know what Mopac is.
Uh-huh.
Or... an entire bonus content where they look up things in Star Wars.
Who would do that?
Who could possibly have a show on that?
What an absolute waste of time. Time that could have been spent on ball shaving.
Why, you don't need to spend much time at all, because with their patented razors...
What do they even do? I mean, I saw, actually, there's, what's his name? The worst MMO ever guy. Yeah. He did an episode where he had the Manscaped box. They sent him as a sample, and it was a regular ass razor. It was just a regular little trimmer. I was expecting it to be ball, like, you know, inverse ball shape or something. So
dip your balls and millions of tiny razors come out and gently caress the hair from your testicles.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was one of those machines you use to polish bowling balls.
Yes.
We'll buff the hairs right off of there with Manscaped. Won't that hurt? Excruciatingly so.
Oh, yes.
There's going to be a lot of blood. Luckily, our patented blood channel filters.
Definitely one of the worst possible ways you could do this.
You'll only lose one ball or your money back.
So, yes. This dealer apparently was not cooperating, so Den decided, oh, I'll impersonate an officer. And when he finds out, he's like, oh, I'll bring you in for trying to sell stolen goods. And when the guy tries to bribe him, he's like, no, you keep your money. I just want the name of the guy who supplied you with these.
Yep, and he
gets
it.
And somehow, it doesn't say then how he got taken in for impersonating an officer, because it's not like they say that this guy then told on him, because he didn't know. He fucking gave the name and was like, great, please leave, and assumed he was an officer.
Yeah.
So how the fuck did he get taken in?
Oh, well, that's easy, John. Dender is an honest business dealer, and so he immediately turned himself in.
Hi, I just told someone I was a police officer. Jail, I'm very please. Sorry. Here is my fake badge, and you may cuff me.
And, I turned myself in, so do I get a choice to sell?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh,
but that
man.
Said, that's very fair. I did impersonate an officer. Actually, wait, hold on.
Harsh, but fair.
You know what? I'm an officer of the law. Can I choose which cell I go into?
Yes.
Shoot, we can't prosecute him for that again. That's double jeopardy.
Boy, I wish things worked like that. Well, he's already murdered someone. We can't charge him with multiple murders.
As long as you've murdered someone, you might as well go nuts.
We already got you for murder. We can't get you for two murder.
Not until we get you for the first one. Okay, so yeah, he gets the name, and the name is... he's a Spoff. No, his name is Spoffon, and he is a
Nucknog.
A Nucknog, which, oof.
Second I read
flag.
That, I was like, ooh, Nucknog, that definitely sounds like some real racist shit that I would have heard online.
Yeah, and we get a whole description of them.
Someone would have called me that if I started to win in Halo.
Yes, yeah, no, it doesn't sound like a good thing. It turns out it isn't. Apparently, they're like, just like natural thieves. They're like little tiny short guys with really long necks but really stumpy legs that have super deft fingers. I have a hard time picturing what this is.
Oh, basically the entire description is just like, what are these guys? Oh, they're little short assholes and they're thieves and they're the worst and they got beady eyes. And
longer necks than legs was one of the things they said about them, and super deft fingers.
Yeah, but the fact that they've decided that as a species, because this is Star Wars, all of them thieves, the lot of them.
Yeah. That's the weirdest thing when they do that, and they're like, this is an entire species of thieves. And I'm like, all right, fine. You could probably have, you know, in a universe of all kinds of species, you could probably have one or two where every single one of them is one thing, right? That's fine. That's just a weird evolutionary quirk that maybe that one species did. Would you let them into your regular Coruscant society then? If absolutely for sure, 100% of the time, every single one of these guys is a thief.
Yeah, and it is known. You're like, yeah, this is a thing. Everyone knows this about them. If you go down to that planet that they're on, then everyone's like just constantly stealing from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you be like, yeah, why don't one of you come over here? That
Let's
ought to
get
be fine.
You on Coruscant. We're going to introduce you to the upper refined feet breeding of the humans.
Feet breeding?
Yes. Welcome to feet breeding.
Ew.com.
I'm Space Tarantino.
Make movies about.
God, I saw some fucking tweet today about that shit. Someone was posting like it was like a generic tweet that was like, it sure is weird when you can watch a movie and really see that all of the director's fetishes are just laid out in front of you and you're like, wow, they made this movie to get off, didn't they? Anyway, what does everyone else think about that nun movie? Because there's like a Paul Verhoeven lesbian nun drama in theaters right now.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a standard Paul Verhoeven movie. He's a horny
you
dude.
Mean, someone gets his nuts ripped off
makes,
or whatever?
Yeah, he makes horny or ultra-violent movies. It's fine. He only has two modes.
Ultra-horny violent movies.
Showgirls or he's got Starship Troopers. You take your L. You take your pick.
You take your RoboCop.
But yeah, they were taking, you know, a little pot shot at Tarantino for like always putting feet in the movie. And the response I had seen was someone who was retweeting it like it's always so like once a week I'll see someone say things like, if a director shows any emotion or whatever at all, they need to stop being a director because what they're doing is sick. And I'm like, they didn't say that. They just said that they didn't like that movie. They didn't say that movie shouldn't exist. They just said they didn't like it. Ah, the internet, where there's only two speeds. Anyway, that's pretty much the end of the chapter. We've established that there's this
I mean, technically, that's bleeding into the next chapter.
That's true.
These two chapters are extraordinarily short.
Yes, they're very linear, and they go right from one into the next.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's really happy that Dendur, even though he has to bail him out of jail, and I don't even know, like, there's not even a mention of, you know, when's your court date? This is probably pretty serious.
Oh, he says, oh, well, we're never getting that bail money back because there's no way Dendur is going to court. Like, he's just not going to go.
He's going to stay on Coruscant. Aren't they just going to arrest you again?
Oh,
it's cool. I'll tell him I'm a cop.
Hey, you missed your court date. Oh, I'm sorry. I am a police officer, though.
Does that change anything? You know it does, damn it. Anyway, yeah.
We're going to give you 4 months vacation, and you better watch out.
Paid, of course. Oh, I've never drawn a police salary before. Well, now you're going to fucking start, miscreant.
We're going to give you the worst punishment we can possibly think of. Money and not working.
For cops, I mean. The worst punishment we can think of for cops. Also, you have to go be a cop in a different district, but you have the exact same salary.
Nothing will change for you.
You'll be briefly famous and half the world will hate you. The other half will raise a giant GoFundMe for you.
You will most likely get thousands of dollars from GoFundMe from idiots from this.
Someone in Congress is going to offer you a job because their only job that they have is getting on the news over and over again.
Their only job is pleasing those idiots that made a GoFundMe for you.
Anyway, it's time to go talk to Spafon.
Spafoon?
Spoff on these nuts. You know,
if you spa could, day for these
if
nuts.
You, if you could spoff on them for me. I don't know what spoffing is, but I bet it costs extra.
That sounds so British. He's spoffing on me nuts, he was. Kip down to the local pub, he's spoffing on me nuts.
Now I'm in a spoff a bother.
It's Brendan Fraser. And he's in a spoff and bother.
It's Monkey Bone.
Exactly as talented as Matt Lucas.
Yeah, you've just done his entire routine.
I did some British voice. That's me, Matt Lucas.
There doesn't need to be a joke or anything. You just do an accent.
Hello, everybody. I'm doing a voice in old Matt Lucas.
Got half an hour left.
I'm getting paid for this.
I don't know. We have an entire new podcast that's just the two of us ripping into Matt Lucas.
Just the Matt Lucas hate hour.
We call it a Great British Baking Show review podcast, and it's a lie. All of it is Matt Lucas material.
Just an hour of constant dunking upon Matt Lucas.
Okay. So we head to another neighborhood to meet this art dealer and fence, Spafon, who is apparently a knucknog.
Yeah, and he's in a neighborhood that is basically the middle class version of Coruscant, because they're like, oh, he's not like in Menerai Heights or anything. He's not rich, but also the place around here isn't run down. There aren't like bars on all the windows. The people who are like selling things are in, you know, uniforms instead of just being angry.
Yeah, no one has their stuff out on a blanket. Nothing here is advertised as a number one bargain. It's all like actual stores.
The actual way that they describe it is it's well on its way to being gentrified.
Yes. It's kind of like Mission Hill or something. It's
a reference everyone can get.
Well, I mean, it depends on which way you slice it. Either I'm talking about the cartoon from the 90s, in which case no one remembers that, or I'm talking
fewer
about...
Fewer people know that.
Or I'm talking about the neighborhood in San Diego called Mission Hill, which is currently undergoing rapid gentrification.
And maybe 10 people will get that one.
There you go. I got that one out to about 110 people.
What are the,
you know what?
What are the 100 for? Because it certainly isn't people who have seen Mission Hill.
At least 100 people have seen Mission Hill. Come
and
on.
Not that listen to this.
I'd be lucky if 110 people listen to this. That said, we have to account for the fact that that Mission Hill, San Diego is probably not the only Mission Hill neighborhood in the United States, and every neighborhood in the United States is currently undergoing rapid gentrification.
As long as they're called Mission Hill.
Yeah, so it's fine. I'm probably right about a lot of Mission Hills.
I'm sure someone in, like, Connecticut went, yeah, obviously, Mission Hill. Duh.
That show was ahead of its time. It deserved better.
Trash.
No, there was great jokes on that show. There were like five, maybe.
Total jokes.
I feel like you probably could have done with less of the very paint-by-numbers nerd stuff about the younger brother.
Yes.
Because that stuff was boring. They had that standard routine where every nerd is every single kind of nerd.
Yes.
Which is not true. Not 9 times out of 10, if you introduce me to another nerd, I'll be like, nerd thing? And they'll be like, different nerd thing. And I'll be like, we are enemies now.
We must fight. But we can't, because we're nerds and we don't know how to do that.
Do go into that arched back cat posture and walk away from each other sideways. They're over there like, kill team. And I'm like, that shit sucks.
Do you 40K? Nay.
Pistols at Dawn.
My favorite anime, Pistols at Dawn. Do you know it?
Anime.
Arcane. That's an anime.
I still haven't watched that. I really need to.
Oh, look
I have
at
people
you.
Telling me to watch it all the time.
Don't.
I've
don't
heard
do it.
I've heard it's fine.
Just make Claire even angrier and refuse to do it.
Oh, don't be. Claire sent me a message before you got over here today begging me to force you to take medicine.
Oh, it's true, because I was going to leave and come over with my fucked up back, and she was like, hey, have you taken medicine? I went, no.
Yeah. So she worries.
Oh, she worries.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to this. It's a nice neighborhood, all right? Except that this guy lives in, like, a featureless house. Like, just they can't tell if it's a business or not because there's, like, nothing on the walls. There's no windows.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if you have that house in your relatively nice neighborhood, it's the shit house everyone's scared of.
Oh, yeah. If you're at the house where, like, everything's kind of okay and you've even got a Chipotle down the street,
mm-hmm.
and you're the one house that's, like, there's no windows in that house, mm-hmm. and it's mostly featureless, and all it has is the number for its street address outside, and that's it.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, okay, they're making drugs there. Clearly, drugs are happening here.
Yeah, that's the house where the children will die. That's the problem. You don't want to go in that one. That's the witch house.
See, I go, from where I grew up, I'd be like, that's the drug house.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's very fair.
Because it's not creepy. It's just too nondescript.
Where I grew up, it would have been 300 people living there. That'd be the difference. They leave through the back to go to whatever weird job they have, but 300 people are inside that house.
They're all in a cult.
But in this situation, it's a crime house.
This is where Spa Phone is.
Right.
And answering the door is a lawn chair.
I'm sorry, what?
A lawn chair, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just, you know, like a regular, like the floating kind, the kind that you type a lot of balloons to?
You know, with those plastic slats, and then you get up and you're like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that, no.
I got lines all over me now. I'm like a zebra.
How about is it the kind where it's got the footrest built into it that never works no matter what you do?
Yes.
Oh, good. And those stupid side armrests that are built with just a little loop, and the moment you try to put your arms on them, the loop just slides down to the bottom. You're like, what was the point of this? This was $60 fucking dollars.
If I want this to stay up, I have to hold it in place. This is ruining the purpose of this.
I am going back to an inside building where there is a couch. The seat of the civilized. Anyway, lawn chair is a little tiny blue guy.
It's a guy that's even smaller than a knucknog, because we've been told that knucknogs are tiny and lawn chairs even tinier.
Yeah, when I first read this, it was like a knucknog is knee high to a Jedi, and I was like, oh, come on, there's tiny Jedi. Yoda's a little babe, little tiny guy. But it was the Jedi. I just misread, and they were talking about Jax.
Yes.
Yeah.
But of course, the lawn chair that opens the door is immediately like, you geets have to beat this with your spoon, fa! Huh? Oh,
is that where you're going with that accent?
You don't looks to sort.
Yeah, they give him a fairly thick eye dialect.
Yeah, he is just really laying it on thick for him.
Yeah, you geets after a beadness with spuffoon.
I after a beadnet names.
Luckily, they speak whatever this adorable patois is, because they're like, yeah, we're here for Spafon.
Here's our fake names. Please let us see the knock knock.
Yeah. I would like to see the knock knock. We will be very quiet.
Oh, he is so little. He is a little guy. It is his birthday.
Every day is a knock knock's birthday.
Here, in the loneliness of the galaxy, every day can be considered a knock knock's birthday.
It's always a knock knock's birthday somewhere.
Out here, in the loneliness and ennui of Coruscant, a lonely knock knock has his birthday.
I once looked into the eyes of a knock knock. I saw nothing.
There was no pain, but also no joy. The point of living that we all must strive for.
But apparently the fake names are good enough, because the Longair retreats, and the door opens up, and now they're going to be heading inside to meet with Spafon.
Yeah, and, you know, the very beginning of this conversation, they are fairly clever, because he's like, hey, who the fuck sent you? And they're like, oh, yeah, we got sent by, what's his nuts?
Shulfa, the art dealer.
He said, you should send some more business his way. He's looking to get rid of some more stuff.
Yeah.
And so they kind of like establish a rapport. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they get real stupid real fast.
But then they get very dumb. Yeah. Because
I almost breeze over some of this. When they walk in, there's a whole thing where they're like, why does he have a lawn chair working for him? Those are worthless. Oh, wait, maybe it's because he's tiny and this thing's even tinier. And he's got like an I don't want to be tiny complex.
I don't want to be the littlest guy in the room.
I got to have a littler guy around to make me look big.
Yeah.
So
that way,
at least,
you know, when I'm meeting with a bunch of different people, because we also get a bunch of business about how, like, this isn't built for knock-knock size. Like, it's built for human size.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, that was nice of them
I love
to make
that
this big enough for humans.
I love that they're surprised by that. Where they're like, oh, this room's big enough for humans to walk in, you know, even though it's built for a knock-knock. And I'm like, yeah, you know who the primary consumers of art are on Coruscant? I'm going to venture a guess. It's probably humans.
And if not humans, something bigger.
Something bigger than knock-knocks, who are notoriously teensy. I feel like if he was to build this place hobbit-sized, he would be limiting his market.
Yeah, that's a real bad thing for a businessman to do.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are tons of little tiny guys whose birthday it is in the Star Wars universe. You got your Yodas and Yaddles and Ewoks and Jawas and Ugnaughts and Longairs and Nogris. But still, none of them buy a lot of art.
As a rule, none of those are art buyers.
I mean, yeah, Kawaki and Lizard Monkeys buy a lot of art, but it's mostly original comics.
Mostly graphic novels.
Yeah.
For matures.
Mm-hmm. Matures only. They keep buying copies of 100 Bullets. In Persepolis.
Azzarello's best work.
I'm a Kawaki and Lizard Monkey. I own 300 copies of Mouse.
Weird.
I have the full works of Mobius. Okay, well, there you go.
There you are.
But we get to meet the erstwhile Spafon himself. And again, we don't get a whole lot of description of what he looks like. Just that his room is tall enough for people to stand in, and that they. Oh, but the furniture is all just pillows on the floor.
Yeah. He's just a little guy hanging out on a pillow,
mm-hmm.
And the only thing there is for the rest of them are other little pillows.
Yeah.
And Dender's like, yeah, fine, I'm a Celestine, I'm kind of a little guy. So, you know, it's
just
my
a medium little guy.
It's my unbirthday.
Well, a very merry unbirthday to Den.
But Jax is like, ugh, I gotta fold my legs up because I'm so tall and humany.
Yeah, and the moment he's in his seated posture, which is like cross-legged on the floor, he's like, oh no, I'm getting flashbacks to Jedi school.
Back when we were trying to learn levitation, they made us set crisscross applesauce.
Then we had to hold our hands in what they racistly called the how position.
Oof.
Until we were all being quiet.
Quiet coyote.
I mean, I remember that from being a Boy Scout, so that's why that's such a vivid memory.
Ouch.
Yeah. At least in Boy Scouts, they call it like, you know, just scout sign or whatever. You just do this.
Yeah.
But when you go to non-scout church camp, oh, they'll call it all kinds of things.
Oh, they've got names for stuff. Weirdly, it was the whole crisscross applesauce thing never heard until I was in my teen years, because it was always just sit in Lotus.
Oh, that's interesting. Lotus, huh?
Yeah.
Because Lotus isn't even just sitting cross-legged.
You have to put the other foot back up.
Yeah, get that other foot back up, and it ain't easy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like John was mentioning earlier, from the moment they start talking to this knucknog, they're just like, oh,
God,
yeah.
That sounds bad.
I know.
Let's start talking to this knucknog over here.
Knucknog, the newest holiday drink from the Three Stooges.
Get us on the Talking Nog podcast. We will talk about knucknogs.
Yeah. You know you need to discuss knucknog on your podcast, Stormer.
Come on, do it.
He doesn't listen to this.
He's never listened to a single thing we've done, and God bless him for it.
Yep. All right, so where were we? Like John was saying, they smartly are like, yeah, Schulfa sent us. He wants more of your good business. And he's like, oh, no, Schulfa's business is hard for me to come by. I'll drop him a line and see what I can do.
He's like, yeah, and, you know, he's been looking for more of those volettes if you can get him. And he's like, oh, I bet he is. Those things are ridiculously hard to come by. You can't just grab them off the street or nothing.
Yeah, it seems like the price was recently dramatically increased on Vesfalit pieces. When you murdered him, which is like, the fuck?
And now it's time to apply the pressure. So, how'd you go about murdering that guy, huh? And you're like, wow, you are the worst.
Is this a book or a transcription of someone's dipshit exalted campaign?
It is. It reminds me so much of the terrible RP sessions.
Yes.
Where you go in and you're like, all right, our characters are going to try and play it cool. So, tell me, how did you murder the man? And you're like, guys, you're so awful. Please just roll dice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me try that again. Have you told your parents yet that you murdered Vesfalette? You see, hey. Vesfalette on a roof. Will you kill him again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Murder says what?
And then you look at the DM like, stunt dice, please. And
the he tells you to leave. Weird. Huh.
Huh.
Why are you being so aggressive?
Well, now I'd like to roll persuasion.
God damn it.
No, you already said the stupidest possible thing.
You walked into a room, said the dumbest thing that anyone could possibly say to a human, and then decided to try and walk it back.
Ah, but the stupidest thing you could say to a human is the smartest thing you could say to a knucknog.
No, that's racist. Leave. Into the ocean.
I'll roll swim. Yeah, well, obviously this Spaffon dude is, like, mad about this.
Oh, the second they do that, he's like, the fuck are you trying to say? I didn't do anything. In fact, why would you accuse me of that? Are you police? You're police. Get out.
Get the fuck out. What the fuck? Get the fuck out of my building. And they're like, well, oh, I'm sorry, we're not police. And
we just want to know how you killed this guy. It doesn't matter to us.
We're not police. We're private detectives. Now, when you killed him, what would you say he used as a weapon? I'm surprised. Honestly, what I'm more surprised by is that Jax doesn't go like, wait, hold on. You're a little knucknog. You couldn't have done it. My whole structure for who could or couldn't have killed Vesfalette is who's strong enough to get through his muscle hump. I've already discounted half the people I know because they're women. Now I'm looking at this little tiny thing, and I'm like, eh, you probably did it with your super strong thief arms.
Oh, yeah. You're a little spindly guy that probably couldn't even reach to Vesvalette's top bits.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did it.
Be consistent, at least, you dickhead. Ugh. But anyway, after they refuse to leave immediately, Spaffon, allegedly this guy who is allegedly Spaffon.
A.K.A. Spaffon.
You know, I'm just going to get this out of the way. He's not Spaffon. That way I can say not Spaffon, and say, we don't know his name. But he's like, all right, never mind then. This is going to happen. And a curtain opens up behind him, and out comes a cat man.
Yeah, big old Cathar comes out, and he's like, all right, you guys got to get the fuck out now.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going, all right, you know, fair, we were just about as stupid as you could possibly be. We should probably leave. They're like, but wait, 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 wait. It's my birthday. I'm just a little guy.
Yeah, wait, hold on. We're getting wildly off topic here. We don't want to get in a fight with your guy. We just want to know why you personally committed the very illegal act of murder.
Look, we get it. You didn't mean to. You went in there to go steal some things. You know, One thing goes to another, bada bing, bada boom, you stabbed a guy and he's dead. We get it.
You didn't mean to do all this premeditated murder, but you did go home and premeditate it. It happens.
And at that point, the Cathar's like, all right, well, I was going to escort you out, but now it's go time and I'm going to take your leg off.
Yeah, now this dude, this Cathar is named Sela. And that you know this because he introduces himself.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, I am Sela, and it is going to be...
I will be the one to beat the shit out of you today.
I'm going to take your tibia out and use it to clean my teeth.
Pleased to meet you.
He's got a special fancy hat on.
If you can, please rate and review. 5 stars appreciated.
It only takes a couple seconds out of your day, but it means the world to me.
Now, you might win a $20 gift card on a new tibia.
If you like the beating you receive now, please like and subscribe. Smash that bell. But no, he's got a little special fancy headband on that Jax knows is important to Cathar, but can't remember why.
He's like, oh, shit. I know that means something. I just can't remember what it is. I mean, obviously, and spoiler alert, it means he's a badass.
This means something.
Oh, it means he really likes tiaras.
Well, anyway, for as much of a badass as he is, this is just Jax clowns on him because he's got Jedi training show.
Oh, yeah, it's a Jedi versus anyone else.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, if the Cathar managed to connect with his giant fuck-off pole arm or whatever he's using.
It's a poignard, which is such a weird thing to describe it as a giant heavy poignard.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is it? Like, it's a giant novelty dagger then?
Yes.
Poignards are daggers.
But no, this thing is... called that, but then described as basically being a pole arm.
It's a great sword, more or less. He gets into a big fight with a great sword, and he managed to get one hit in on Jax, where he just sort of pushes him because he's faster than he looks, because he's a giant hulking pile of cat muscles.
Yeah, but even then, he's like, "No, you're not going to ever touch me."
Yeah,
even if I wasn't a Jedi, I'm still nimbler than you are. Plus, I have the Force on my side. Mm-hmm. So basically, you would one-shot me if you hit me, but you won't, and I'm just going to continually use my fire sword to burn the hair off of you.
Yes, he just keeps poking him with the fire sword and burning chunks off of him over and over. He doesn't want to kill him.
No, he's just like, and I'll lightly stab you there, and then the Cathar's like, puts out the fire on his fur.
Yeah.
And they just do this over and over again.
Until he's hit this poor cat about a dozen times, and the cat hasn't landed a single hit on him. And eventually the cat drops to one knee and is like, all right, I concede. My life and everything I own and all of my belongings and possessions are yours. I surrender them.
By the rules of the Blood Hunt, you fucked my shit, and here you go.
Yeah, you win me, basically. And Jax is like, fucking yeah, goddamn right I do.
Hell yeah, one more employee.
Now go gross in an apartment about how shitty everything is.
I want you to go get real sad and grumbly.
Go stand in my apartment in case I decide to include you in my adventuring party.
I'm going to walk around and pick who I want to come with me.
Are you ever going to pick me? No, you're the Umaro now.
You're so awful and all your skills are bad.
You're only going to show up if I have to raid the Tower of Magic.
So yeah, the fight very one-sidedly goes to Jax.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks around, he's like, hey, wait a minute, where'd that little lawn chair go? And also Den.
Yeah, everyone's gone but Spiffon. Who's not Spiffon? He's like, what happened to Den and that lawn chair? And then Den comes just striding out from behind a curtain with the lawn chair held up by like his little hair tuft. And he's like, hey, this is Spiffon. This little guy here is Spiffon.
This is the actual Spiffon. He was just using a droid that looks like a knuck-knock as a distraction.
That is fairly distracting.
It's weird. Like, you could get a regular knuck-knock.
Or just a droid.
Then again, I suppose you did make the point, who's going to let a knuck-knock on Coruscant?
Yeah, it's true.
So at that point, he's like, well, I guess I'll just make a droid version.
Why make something so rare and unliked to be your face? You think you go with, like, you know, a human droid?
Nah. Because this way, you're like, ah, someone will talk to this guy, and they'll be like, hey, you little shit, I want to do stuff, and then you'll see who they really are.
Yeah, plus we do know that human droids cost 9,000 monies.
Nine million monies.
9 million monies, because of the tale of Guri, who I don't believe has been built yet at this point.
No.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, Guri's 9 million. You could probably get, like, a pretty decent human one for, like, 2 million.
That's fair. A lot of bands still. Anyway, Spiffon drops the accent, The real Spafon, the Longer.
Yeah, the Longer is no longer doing his little patois.
Yeah. Now, we didn't really describe him. A Longer is a tiny blue guy with four eyes and a tuft of fur up top. Basically like if Mr. Meeseeks had gross amounts of eyes.
Oh, I was just going to say like a demonic Smurf, but okay.
It's either way. It's fine. Sure. Just because the Mr. Meeseeks has that poof up top, which is kind of how I'm picturing the Longer. But yeah, so he's just like, come on, what do you guys want? What the fuck? What is this?
Please, leave me alone.
No
and they're
one
like,
hit me.
Now, how did you murder Vess Valette?
And he's like, seriously, I really didn't do that.
I didn't. And also, gee, I'm even smaller than the other. How do you think I would do that?
Yeah. Now, the moment he's like, whoa, come on, please, just put me down and no one hit me. Even Sela, the Cathar, is like embarrassed. He's I can't believe I work for this chunk.
I got to look away from this guy because otherwise I'm going to be involved and I do not want to be involved.
I wonder if they had, personally, the chapter more or less ends when he's like, I don't fucking know. I didn't kill Vess Valette. What the hell?
Yeah, and then Jax is like, oh, you know what I should do and should have done a while ago? I'll reach out with force and, oh, yeah, he's telling the truth. He didn't.
Yeah, he didn't do it. All right, well, let's just get out of here. And Den's like, good, it's always happy hour somewhere. Glug, glug, drink, drink, am I right? And that's the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of wondering if they didn't give Sela a name and that whole blood hunt description. Because
so that'll come back?
I think he might show up again. I think he might literally show up in like the next chapter and be like, what? I told you, you own me now.
Look, it's like a Wookiee thing.
Yeah.
All the hairy species, we all got this.
Yeah, it's a weird coincidence. It's got nothing to do with genetics. It's just that if you're a big hair guy, you get, you know, you got a blood debt you got to do.
Got a blood debt.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a blood debt? Try Manscaped.
You will. You'll have a blood deficit with Manscaped.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, those are the two chapters. It's real quick of just Jax going, oh, wait a minute. Everyone here sucks and is angry, and then I'm going to go do the worst possible interview I can. As we've already seen with how he dealt
Why
with
is
the
he
Baron.
Such a bad detective? It's
he's
wild.
He's the worst. And every time he's like, oh, after I fucked up just a lot, I'm going to finally, like the stingiest motherfucker ever, be like, I guess I'll use the force. You're like, start with that. Lead
with the force.
The force and go, all right, let me just magic out. Did this guy do it? No, great. Now I don't have to be an asshole to him.
I hope we get four more interviews in this book, and every one of them is just like, hi, yes, you wanted to talk to me? What's going on?
Hi,
why
yes.
did you kill Vess Valette?
Hi, I'm a beloved vicar of this place. Hey, why are you such a murderer? And he's like, well, you got me.
Two for murdering.
Well, you see right through me. I am indeed a murderer. Not Vess Valette, though.
Yeah, you gotta get him. You have to win the game with him, and he has to tell you if you're a murderer or not.
You've just lost the game.
Hey, how would you like to play a game of truth or dare? Ooh, very good. I'm excellent at small ball party games. Okay, truth. Why did you kill Vess Valette?
Oh, I believe you'll find that I say truth or dare, and I'll say dare. All right, I dare you to tell me the truth about why you killed Vess Valette. Hey, did you know I'm the biggest piece of shit ever?
I don't understand the rules of truth or dare, or would you rather, or the slightest. Because I remembered after we talked all of our discussion about the truth or dare movies and how bullshit all the truths and dares in them are, that I've also seen the movie Would You Rather?
Yep.
Where there's that one part where they're like, you either have to do something that's in this envelope or be submerged underwater for 2 minutes. And one of them's like, I'll take the envelope. And the thing in the envelope is be submerged underwater for 4 minutes. And I'm like, that is...
That's not how this works.
That's not a fun version of this game.
God damn it.
Quit. If you don't understand these shitty teenage party games, quit making horror movies about them.
God damn it, you weird 60-year-old people making these. Mm-hmm. Stop.
Oh, spin the bottle, you say. Now, in the game of spin the bottle, you pick up the bottle and have to disembowel your friend with it, right? Because that'd make a pretty good horror movie.
Yeah, the fact that I managed to watch a horror movie that was 7 minutes in heaven is also just every time I find any movie that's like, hey, you know those teenage games that's basically an excuse for kissing? Let's turn that into a horror movie. And I'm like, ooh, how'd you fuck this one up? Let me see.
What the fuck does it even do with seven? I mean, I can see...
Oh, they go in the closet and it shoves them into an alternate universe.
Oh, good. So it's like a combination of 7 minutes in heaven and Narnia.
Yeah, except in Narnia's, I don't know, full of people that want to murder.
It's just, oh, so it's basically...
It's like you went through Narnia but landed in the Purge.
Yeah, you went through Narnia and landed in whatever the Cenobites live in. I don't know, you get hell, I guess. Is that just hell?
No, because it was the same neighborhood. It's just now everybody wants to murder everyone.
Oh, okay. That's okay. No, I mean, on a separate note, is there a name for where Cenobites live? Is it just hell?
Yeah, I think it's just hell.
Okay. All right. Just checking. They don't, like, live in the lament configuration. That's just that box.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, at one point, you go to where they are. I think it's in the third one.
Oh, okay. I think in most of the movies, you get a glimpse of where they are. Like, I know in the second one, they go to...
I mean, the first one, you don't.
I think there's a shot or two of them leaving it. And in the second one, you definitely do, because with that weird, stupid doctor, it gets turned into, like, a long-necked CD machine or something. You definitely... There's a scene where the woman he's chasing runs around away from him in a stupid CGI hell. Anyway, we're mugging for time. We're done with the chapters.
It's very short, very dumb. Jack Spavan proving over and over again that he should not be a private investigator, and this was a bad choice of career for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he really should just leave Coruscant and go hide on Dagobah or some crap. You know, just do whatever other good Jedi did.
Yeah, go find a shitty planet with one biome and hang out until someone needs you.
Yeah, this is just sad so far. But anyway, we're going to go make our bonus content, as we often do.
As we are wont to do.
And if you would like to hear that bonus content, why, you can find it at patreon.com/systemmastery at the low, low pledge of $2.
Why, that's right. You could join us when we go to Wikipedia and find out all manner of dumb garbage. And not only that, but it also unlocks our System Mastery bonus content, where we make characters and all of the dumb games that we review.
Mm-hmm.
And hey... You could also go to the $5 level, get our TV mastery, where we're watching currently The Flying Nun,
mm-hmm.
which is some weird nonsense.
Top-notch goof-em-ups, and that's at the $5 level.
Yeah, you could go up to there, and mm-hmm. then you also get The Afterthought. We just recorded this month's, and it's great.
I'm excited about it. I haven't put it up yet, but I had a really busy day. I'll probably do it right after we record tonight.
Huzzah.
So look forward to that. And if you're a $5 subscriber, of course, look forward to that. Otherwise, consider joining us at one of our various Patreon levels and helping us keep doing what we do.
Or you can always just write a review, give mm-hmm. us a rating of 5 stars and nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you could use the promo code SystemMastery at Manscaped. I'm kidding. Don't. We don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. It won't work. They'll charge you full price for your ball scrapers.
Star Wars.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. I've been Elan Sleaze Boggiano.
I was just a little guy.